We come this morning to a very familiar passage, and one I'm sure that you know is found in all four Gospels, one of very few passages which each of the Gospels testifies to. But if you compare the accounts in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, you'll see that each of the Gospel writers was necessarily selective in the presentation and use of their material. If you were to consult Mark and John, Jesus looked upon the people and had compassion because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And therefore he taught them. And the whole of John chapter 6 is the account of Jesus' teaching after this incident. And Luke says that Jesus taught them concerning the kingdom of God and healed some. And here in this account in verse 14, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. And then he took 5 loaves and 2 fish and broke it, sufficient for all these people to feed and to feast. But perhaps as we read through the account, you'll see that in Matthew's Gospel, the whole incident is presented as a major inconvenience to Jesus. He had just heard of his cousin's death, the one who was appointed as the forerunner and herald. And he wanted to be alone. He wanted to withdraw to a solitary place and to pray. But he saw people. And he was waylaid. And at the beginning of the next section, in verse 22 and 23, Jesus resumes his desire to pray. And having dismissed the crowd, he goes to pray. But when this great crowd of people, 5,000 men, not including the women and children, he didn't rush off. He didn't get impatient with them. He didn't say, I can't be bothered with you at this particular point. I'm preoccupied with my sadness. He saw them and he healed some. He taught them. He fed them. Because, as Matthew said, he had compassion on them. He saw the great crowd and he felt something for them. Indeed, in chapter 15 and verse 32, Jesus says of himself, I have compassion for these people. He tells us what his inner feelings are for all those who came to him. And he's already told us that he's gentle and humble in heart in chapter 11. And what we're told isn't what Jesus looked like or where he was going or what he did. We're told what he felt for people. What he feels for you and me this morning as we're gathered in his presence. Do you remember how Matthew presents Jesus as the Christ, the King? And it's true, even though it was mockery in chapter 27, he is presented as the King of Israel. And in chapter 14 and verses 1 to 12, we have displayed to us the nature of another king, the true nature of Herod the Tetrarch, that weak-willed man who wielded deadly and destructive power. You remember how it was put last week? He was the man who had destructive power of a weak will. Matthew himself presents the contrast between that king and King Jesus. In verse 1 of chapter 14, we read, at that time, Herod heard the reports about Jesus. In verse 13, Jesus heard what had happened. And so insignificant is that man, Herod. It's just that he heard the situation. And these two incidents are laid side by side and present to us a great contrast between two men, between two hearts, between two different ways, two opposite ways of dealing with people. Here was John, who was a major inconvenience to Herod, who had made a promise. And it didn't matter what happened to John, he was put to death. Herod didn't want to make himself look foolish. He wanted to put himself out as tough and not the victim of a pathetic character. And he did away with John. And here is Jesus, even though at that point it was inconvenient for him, grieving for John at Herod's inhumanity and the whole situation, he dealt with people so differently. And it's all summed up in that one word, compassion. And I know the passage is about the feeding of the 5,000. But I want us this morning in particular to focus our attention on this compassion that Jesus felt for people. Because as I've said, as we worship before him as our sovereign King, as we have come to him as our teacher, as we come into this place because he is our Savior, we need to think about what our Lord feels for us as his people. And we're going to look at the fact and the significance of our Lord's compassion. And then for ourselves, what is the personal significance to us that we're to be like Christ and have this same compassion for the world in which we live? For the people who pass up and down Buchanan Street in front of our church. For the people who come here. In the first place, then, we notice simply the fact that Jesus felt something deep in his soul for people. Perhaps you, like me, in reading the gospel story, seem to see Jesus' life as so bland. He went around doing nice things. And yet, as we consider the gospel story, Jesus is full of character and emotion, just like us. Even more so, in fact, because of his perfect humanity and his perfect deity, displaying every day in his dealings, in his working, the very character of God. But what is this compassion? We use the expression, don't we, of someone's gut reaction. Their immediate response to whatever has taken place. That's the expression we use, but it's very real, isn't it? Because we feel something deep in our stomach, deep in our being, in reacting to what we've heard. And I suppose television has played on the powerful images that evoke that sense of compassion and our gut reaction. Here is a war-torn area. And the image we see is of a child crying. Or of a child injured with a leg or arm missing. Or here's a great catastrophe, and we've seen that very recently. And what do we see? A mother weeping. And in seeing that, we're moved. Or here we hear of children in other parts of our world treated like vermin. And some take it upon themselves simply to clear the streets of them and shoot them. And don't we react in the depth of our being? Don't we have a same kind of gut reaction and compassion as we hear of this? We're moved with pity. That's the expression used here of Jesus. He saw human misery and it affected him in the depth of his being. He saw people with leprosy and blindness. He saw that widow of Nain weeping for her son, and he's moved with compassion. But that's the fact of Jesus feeling compassion for people. But what does it really mean? What was he seeing in people that moved him with this compassion? That moved him in the depth of his being? I suppose the simple solution when we compare the four Gospels in what they say simply about the feeding is that Jesus saw how pathetic these people were. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They needed someone to help them and to guide them and to lead them. And he taught them because they were ignorant. And he fed them because they were hungry. And yet I'm persuaded that what Jesus felt and what Jesus saw goes so much deeper than that. And we need to consider other places in the gospel story where Jesus displays his emotion, what he really felt about a situation, so that we can see what he really saw. Here was Jesus in Mark chapter 3 in the synagogue, and the Pharisees wanted to find some way of accusing him. And they brought to him a man who had a shriveled hand. Now, they weren't in the least bit interested in that man. They were interested in ritual purity. And they brought this poor, wretched man in front of Jesus and said, "Now, what are you going to do?" And Jesus questioned them about humanity and about ritual purity. And the Pharisees at that particular point remained silent. And we read in chapter 3 and verse 5, he looked around at them in anger, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. He saw their stubbornness, and he was grieved, he was pained in the depth of his being, and he became angry. He saw what they were really like. Or perhaps in chapter 10, when the disciples refused to allow Jesus to have children clutter around him. Jesus was annoyed with his disciples. He came over the brow of the hill and saw Jerusalem lying down there. And he wept over the persistent rejection of Jerusalem. You see, he saw into the hearts and the minds of people. He saw what they were really like. In the depth of their being. And he felt compassion. I suppose it's when we turn to John chapter 11 that we get the great exposition of the real object of Jesus' compassion. Jesus' vision, what he really saw when he felt for us. Do you remember how John chapter 11 deals with the death of Lazarus? And we read in verse 33 that Jesus came to the place where Mary was, and Jesus saw her weeping. And the Jews who had come along with her also weeping. And we read, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. He knew that intensity of sympathy for this poor woman in the death of her brother and all that death meant to her. And he looked at that tomb and saw all that death really meant for him too. And it's not simply that he was feeling angry and sympathetic for Mary. He saw, you see, all that sin had brought into the world in death. And that's the focus of his anger in seeing the tomb. And it's almost as if we get the feeling that Jesus' anger at death and sin that brought about death was almost irrepressible. And yet we find in verse 35 that in a very controlled and orderly fashion, no matter what he felt in the depth of his being, Jesus wept. He saw, you see, the hatefulness of death. He saw the tyranny of death over people. And he was angered and enraged not only at death, but at the evil one who had the power of death. And as Jesus came into the world to destroy the devil and the works of the devil and to break apart the bonds of death, Jesus was angry at its sight here. And we read later on that he raised Lazarus, indicating that the future battle would be won. But you see what he saw at this particular point. He felt the need of Mary. He felt our own bondage, our own captivity to the evil one and the dominion of sin. And therefore he felt compassion. And therefore he felt angry at what sin had done. And therefore he gave himself to redeem us from our sin. We could recount together too the cleansing of the temple where Jesus sees the pollution of God's house. And he burned with jealousy for the holiness of that place. And he was outraged at the presence of evil. And he cast evil out of the presence of God. We could go on and inquire into our Lord's mental anguish. Do you remember how in chapter 12 of John and verse 27, when Jesus saw the prospect of his own death and what he was to do and what he was to go through in paying the debt of our sin, in battling with death, in coming under the curse of God for us, in being forsaken, he cried that the cup could be taken from him and immediately said, "But not my will, but thine." He knew what he would have to do. But more than the suffering of that kind of anguish and agony, he came to be our Savior and was prepared to go through even that so that we could be saved. Do you remember how that mental anguish almost caused his death? In the Garden of Gethsemane, where he says, "I'm at the point of death," even there before he got to the cross. And were it not for the fact that the angels came to minister to him, he might have expired. Jesus didn't ask for the angels to come. They didn't come of their own volition. They were sent. But he had that deep and intense struggle because he wanted to be our Savior. And he gave himself all through his life so that he could give himself on our behalf. And when Jesus, even here in this place, feels that compassion for these people, it wasn't simply that they were hungry. It wasn't simply that they were sheep without a shepherd. He saw them as people who needed a Savior. Turn back with me to chapter 8 of Matthew's Gospel and verses 16 and 17. Where we're given the first intimation of all that Jesus would do in his healing. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities. He carried our diseases. And you remember that comes from the chapter in Isaiah which indicates to us gloriously the work of our Savior upon the cross. And when Jesus healed people because he felt compassion for them, it was because he there and then was the strong man who had come to cast out and dispossess the evil one. He was the one who here and there and then was continuing that process of salvation that would culminate in the cross. Jesus was compassionate here. And he healed them. And he fed them. And he taught them. And he was with them. Because he saw people who were subject to the tyranny of the evil one. He saw people in whose lives were all the effects of that domination. In disease and demon possession and ignorance. And he saw people who needed a Savior. And he saved them. Back in Genesis chapter 6, we read that God felt exactly the same. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 reads, "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain." And Jesus saw all that evil had done in humanity. And just as God's heart was filled with pain, in Genesis chapter 6, our Lord's soul was moved with compassion too. And he subjected himself to all the conditions of our humanity so that he could save us. And whatever emotions we see in the gospel story here, in John chapter 11, in Mark chapter 3, and all the way through the gospel account, we see the fitness of one who was to be our Savior King. He was one who felt for us in our need. And that's why God gave us a priest. Someone who in the presence of God would feel our need. And Zechariah says he was a priest on his throne. But not only so, he was someone who would make atonement because of sin. The book of Revelation depicts Christ as the Lamb on his throne. And Jesus Christ feels our need and gave himself to make atonement. He, in all of his humanity and deity, perfectly fits our need. Do you remember how in the book of Hebrews we read he had to be made like his brothers? In every way. In order to become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of his people. We have one in heaven today who sympathizes with all our weakness, who understands us through and through because he felt for us. And therefore we can come boldly into the presence of God. So that's the fact that Jesus felt all these kinds of emotions. and the significance of Jesus feeling that so that he could feel for us and do away with the evil one and domination to sin. Before we move on, we need to point out that not only did Jesus feel compassion and anger, Jesus felt joy too. Do you remember how in Luke chapter 12, Jesus felt joy in the Holy Spirit with the prospect of winning salvation? He was the one who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Not only was he a man of sorrows, he was the man of joy too, because he saw that we would one day be saved. But what about the personal significance to us that Jesus feels for us in our need and has done that great work of salvation for us? Well, we've come into his presence this morning, haven't we? We've come into the presence of one who is depicted as having compassion for his people. We can come to him in our grief and our sorrow, and know that our Savior feels for us today what he felt for that poor widow. We can come to him in all of our need and know that he understands and feels for us. We come before him crying, Lord, teach me more of this glorious salvation. And he's the one who feels compassion and teaches us. Or perhaps we've come into his presence as a temple of the Holy Spirit with still some pollution within our own heart, some sin that we're harboring. Well, my brothers and sisters, he knows all about that too. And he feels anger against that hypocrisy and against that sin. But the significance for us of Jesus feeling compassion is that we come to him this morning whose nature has never changed. And he feels for us this morning. But he is that sufficient Savior who forgives and cleanses and renews. But we're also called to be like Jesus Christ, aren't we? It's what it means to be Christ-like. So that we feel that same kind of compassion for other people that our Lord feels for them. What did Jesus feel for people? What did Jesus see in people? What do we see in people this morning? Do we see simply on the physical surface their needs and we supply that and think we're done? Jesus sees the eternal issues that are at stake in people's lives. But just in case you think I've forgotten the rest of the passage, do you remember how Jesus takes those 5 loaves and 2 fish and breaks it for people to give them sufficient to eat? Well, in John's Gospel, it's called a sign. That is to say, the physical feeding wasn't sufficient, wasn't the only thing that our attention is to be drawn to. That's simply the sign pointing us further on. It's the sign that points us to who Jesus really is. Our attention is taken elsewhere. We haven't arrived if we only see the physical side of things. Jesus, in taking 5 loaves and 2 fish, was pointing to who he was. Now, if I were to take 5 loaves and 2 fish, that would be a miracle if I could make it sufficient for more than 5,000 people to eat. But John says it's a sign. It's not a miracle. It's a sign of who Jesus was, that he was able to do that. Who is it that's able to bring things into being out of nothing? Who is it that is sufficient for all of his people? Is it not the Son of God? Is it not God himself? And the feeding points us on. And my brothers and sisters, if we're feeling compassionate, if we're to feel the same kind of compassion for people, will our compassion not be that here is a people who need a Saviour, and I'll show them who the Saviour is? Don't we so often merely want to deal with the physical things? And we would leave people without a Saviour. Jesus dealt with everything. But he wanted people to see who he really was. Now you're going to say, well, perhaps other people can do that kind of thing. Well, I'm not the kind of person who can go out and be used in that kind of way. Jesus took what was most unpromising, what people would even laugh at. 5 loaves and 2 fish for all of these people, you're joking. And we feel that same sense of complete inadequacy, don't we? And yet, when this produce of men's hands and the produce of men's labor was given into Jesus' hands, didn't he make it great? And when we place ourselves in the hands of the Lord, meager as we see ourselves, meager as we feel ourselves, how gloriously the Lord can take the few talents. But for those who give themselves to him, because they see the need of people around them, how gloriously our Lord can, beyond all that we can ask and think, use us. But will you give yourself to Christ in every way? Here is a people that needs a Savior, and I'll give everything to Jesus Christ, so that he can himself draw them, so that I can point them to him. My brothers and sisters, Jesus felt compassion, not because he saw a physical need only, but because he saw people needed a Savior from the dominion of sin, from the tyranny of the evil one. And he is the Savior. And if we feel compassion, and may God give us to feel this compassion for people, we will use everything to point them to him. Let us pray together. Our blessed Lord, as we come to you this morning, reflecting on the perfect humanity of our blessed Saviour, we pray that we might be renewed after his likeness afresh, so that in every emotion that we feel, we would see and perceive in the way that he did. We ask that you would enable us to see people as Jesus saw them, as those who need a Savior, as those who need salvation. And we pray that we would give our all to that end, for his glory. Amen.